And you've been preaching the gospel for quite a while. And man, I am so thankful to have you. Thankful God has allowed us to be together. And you come preach Christ to us, please.
Malachi chapter 3. Good to see old friends, new friends, folks I hadn't seen for years. You know, our memories may completely fail us entirely. But one thing that will not fail, God's memory won't. Everyone he ever knew, he'll always know. And everyone he ever knew before eternity, he'll always know into eternity. Oh, what a blessed thing to think about. What a blessed thing to think about. Let me start reading up here. I think it's in verse 13 where I want to start, because there's such a dramatic change. The Lord speaking here, he said, "Your words have been stout against me. You got some pretty rough things to say to me, some things about me. You're a pretty big talker," saith the Lord. "Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? What have we spoken against thee?" He said, "This is what you said. It's vain to serve God. It's useless. It's empty. It don't amount to anything. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What's it going to do? What good's it done us? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts." And now, he said, this is where you really, really, really are stout against me. And this is where you really are vain. And where you walk and don't keep my ordinance. And now you call the proud happy. God said, "I hate pride. I hate a proud look." Pride is one of the abominations of God. "And yea, that they that work in wickedness." And he's talking to religious people. "They that work wickedness." Can you imagine how wicked it is to get up and preach that salvation's by man's will, by man's power, by man's decision, by man letting God do something for him? That God is waiting on you to do something. That God's in your hands to do with him, and it's up to you to do something. How wicked is that? Could anything be more wicked for a man to do than to talk like that about God? And oh, listen, he said, they set them up. "Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Said they'll be delivered from all their troubles. But then look what a change. "Then they that fear the Lord." What a difference. What a difference. "Yet they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." When it says they that fear the Lord, I want to talk about a blessed fear, a wonderful fear, a fear that only God can give a man. And fear's a good thing. Fear's a good thing. You know, when you're growing up, fear keeps you from doing a lot of things that you'd hurt yourself. It keeps people from getting hurt. I know that I ain't going to touch fire because I've been hurt by it, so I'm afraid of fire. And it caused parents to teach their children to do certain things. Don't be foolish. And they want to protect their children from danger and from hurt and harm and danger. And it keeps people out of danger. But there's two sides to fear. There's a positive side that I just mentioned. And the negative side is when you have a fear, and that's a very bad thing. there's a fear that has torment. And that fear can be so unreasonable. You know, they call it paranoia. Now, I'll tell you something about myself. When I came back from Vietnam, I had some fears that were so terrible that I'd go to bed at night and say, Lord, don't let the morning come. Then I'd get up in the morning, don't let the night come. My whole life was nothing but a torment. Fear had such torment. And I was so afraid of so many things. And it can be crippling. Fear can be crippling. It can cripple people that they can't do things. They get a phobia. There's people have lots of phobias. And Job said this about himself over in Job 3. I'll read it to you. He said, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of come unto me. And that which I was afraid come unto me. That which I greatly feared come on me. Come on me. But a fear of God is a blessed thing. Oh, if you have a fear of God in your heart, you have a fear of God and a reverence for God in your heart, mind, and soul, you're greatly blessed of God. Greatly blessed of God. There's people that don't fear God. There's people that don't even think about God. And that's one of the things that Paul said when he accused the people of not having a righteousness and didn't understand and never sought God. He said one of the greatest things that they had was there was no fear of God before their eyes. They can stand up and talk about God and say some of the awful things about God. And yet, beloved, they have no fear of God. But if God put a fear of Himself in your heart, what a blessed thing that God's done that for. And you know, the fear of God, the Bible tells us, that's just the beginning of wisdom. That's just where it starts. That don't where it stops. That's just where it starts. The beginning of wisdom, that's where it starts. And that don't never stop once you start fearing God. It just, and oh my. But I'll tell you what. And I tell you, if God gives you the fear of the Lord, you know what that tells me? That you just started getting a little bit of sense. Just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit. Just a little bit. But let me give you, out of these verses that I read tonight, three things about the Lord's people. Three things about the Lord's people. The first thing we know about them is that they reverence. They have a great reverence for God. It says, they that feared the Lord. That's what that really, really means, is have a great reverence for God. You hear people call themselves reverend and right reverend, but the only place that reverent is His name. And I tell you, when you fear God, and here's the thing. Now, let me tell you this. We're not afraid of God. We're not fear of being punished by God. That's not the fear I'm talking about. We're not afraid of God giving us retribution for anything that we've done. We're not afraid that God's going to whip us real, real bad if we do something bad. But, oh no, when He's talking about the fear of the Lord, He's talking about a fear that motivates us to honor Him, glorify Him, and bless Him, and praise Him, and speak of Him in the right, and even, listen, we got, by God's grace, we cannot think too highly of God. By God's grace, we cannot get our head into the place that would honor God where it ought to be. Where it ought to be. But oh my, to honor Him, I'm not afraid of the Lord's presence. There was a time I was afraid of the Lord's presence. You know, the first man God made, the man Adam, after he sinned against God, you know what the first thing he did? He went and hid. He was afraid of God. He didn't want God to be in His presence, and he didn't want to be in the presence of God. You know, that's the first thing that ever happened to that man. After he sinned, he run over and hid and actually thought that he could hide. And he could hide. But oh my. And I tell you what, now I don't fear His presence. Oh God, give me Your presence. I want to have Your presence. I want Your presence when I'm asleep. I want Your presence when I'm awake. I want Your presence when I'm sitting. I want Your presence when I'm walking. I want Your presence wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. Give me Your presence. Oh, to have the presence of God. Oh, my. And I tell you, the fear of God influences our attitude. You know that? It'll influence our attitude about God, about His Word, about one another. And I tell you, it also influences our disposition. Could you honestly complain about God ever doing anything against you? Is God mistreating you in any way? Your disposition's been changed because God put a fear of you in His heart. They that fear the Lord. Oh, your disposition. And I tell you, it changes in your circumstances. I know today there's a woman and her mother both. Her cancer was in remission, it come back. And her mother started chemo today. And the other one was going to figure out, the doctor was going to figure out how to treat it the second time. Now that's some awful circumstances to be put in. But what kind of disposition you reckon they have? They've got a disposition, it's the Lord. Let Him do what seems good. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the fear of God does for you. And all because we trust Him. And I'll tell you something else about the fear of God. It affects our worship. It affects our worship. Oh my, we worship God. I want you to look in Malachi 1:6. Look what God says over here about some people. You know, the fear of God affects our worship. We worship God in reverence and godly fear. Look what He said here in Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have you despised me? Oh, I tell you what, the fear of God affects our worship. I mean, why our services, and this is what's so wonderful about the services we have. People sit quietly and listen to what God has to say. They're not jumping up and down and waving their hands and clapping them and making all kinds of calls. You know, we worship God in reverence and godly fear. Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably. That's what the Apostle Paul said. We don't gather here to see who's the most spiritual. We're not here to see who's the most spiritual person in the building. We're not here to see who can holler the most, who can give the best testimony, who can remember more scriptures than anybody else. Oh, no. I tell you what, we're here to worship God. And I tell you, our fear of God affects how we worship God. Oh, it affects how we worship God. I remember years ago, and I was learning the gospel. There was an old man and his dad sat over here on the right. And he had just, carry on like that. Boy, I got so tired of that one time, I just turned to him and said, what did I just say? He'd holler, amen, amen, amen. And what did I just say? You could hear a pin drop. And that's the way it is. See how reverent you are? How quiet you are? You know why you do that? Because God, we're here to worship God, not make noise. Not to make noise. We're here to worship God. And I tell you what, look what else it says about the Lord's people. They fear God. It affects their worship, their influence, their disposition. But look what else it says about it. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And look what it says down there in the last part of the verse. And they thought upon His name. They that feared the Lord, they thought upon His name. You know, I hope you don't misunderstand me. Believers are the most, they think more than the average person does. You cannot know God and believe the Bible and understand the Scriptures and what we preach and be a dummy. You can't. You have to pay attention. And that's what I'm telling. Now, religion, free willism, you don't have to think about that. You don't have to think about that. Well, I joined the church. Hallelujah. I got saved. The preacher got me saved. Had no thoughts in that. There ain't no thoughts in Pentecostalism. There ain't no thoughts in people giving testimonies and doing head traps and all that rigmarole. That's no thought in that. But when you start talking about God and how holy and how righteous and how powerful and how blessed He is, when you start talking about God and His holiness and His righteousness and His power and His right to do what He will with His people, that His right to do what He will in this world, to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory and that everybody on the face of this earth is in His hand to do with as He will. Oh, listen, you'll stop and think about that. When you start thinking about being addressed as a worm, wait a minute. Don't make you mad. Grasshopper, don't make you mad. Oh, my. Oh, they thought upon His name. You know why they thought on His name? You cannot know God and not think about Him. You cannot know God's character and His character and His name and His precious. You cannot know God without thinking about Him. Let's just say some things about Him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. That's the first thing He said. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What are you going to do? I'm going to run and get in it, and I'll be safe. I'll be safe. Oh, my. Look in Exodus 33. Everybody knows this, but this is worth looking at. It's worth looking at. Exodus 33. Everybody's seen this before, but I tell you what, it's worth. That's one of the things about the Lord that you never get tired of. You know, have you ever got tired of Exodus 33? Moses, you know, God, look what he said in verse 18. Moses asked God, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, wait a minute. You think about this. He just went through the Red Sea on dry ground. He seen God kill all the firstborn in Egypt. He seen 10 plagues sit and God call them all back. He's seen so many things. Oh, he saw the first time he met God. God met him on a burning bush. And then he turns around and said, Lord, I want to see your glory. He didn't go back to his experiences. He didn't go back to all he had seen and all he had done. He said, Lord, I want to see your glory. Of all the things that I've seen, oh, to see your glory. To see the glory of my God in heaven and earth. He said, I want to see your glory. And oh, here's what our Lord said to him. God spoke back to him. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. Now, how good you reckon God is? How good you reckon He is? I'll tell you something. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. Nobody will face God in eternity and say, God, you didn't treat me good. God treats everybody good. And I tell you what, He treats us better than we deserve, that's for sure. The one thing I hate about it, listen, I hate this thing that, you know, people flippantly saying, well, it's the good Lord. I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. No, no. God in His glory, He said, oh, Lord, show me. And He said, I'll cause my goodness to pass before you. I'm good in my Father. I'm good in the Son. I'm good in the Holy Ghost. I am a good God. And my goodness is going to go before you. And then look what He said. I'm going to do this. God said, I'm going to proclaim my own name. I'm going to do it. We try to proclaim His name, but God said, I'm going to proclaim my name before you. I'm going to proclaim my name before you. Oh, I'm going to say, I am that I am. Look what he goes on to say now. And this is, well, you're talking about good. Listen how good he is. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. You know what that means? That he's a God of grace. He say, well, I tell you what, I would like you to show that grace to me. Well, all you got to do is ask. and then show mercy on whom I show mercy. Oh my. You think about His name. You know, they thought upon His name. His name is powerful. You know how powerful His name is? That God Almighty told us that all we had to do is take the name of His blessed Son, and it has such power to it that we can say, God, have mercy on us. Be gracious to us. Pity us. Oh, God, look upon us. Oh, God, save us. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Oh, God, please do something for us. And we'll tell Him about, He said, His name is so powerful that it's Your righteousness, Lord, that we come in His name. It's Your merit that we come in. It's in His power we come in. It's in the name of His work we come in. In the cross we come in. We dare not come in our own selves in any way, shape, or form. We don't use our name. We don't use anything we've ever done. And oh my, how do you describe God? Describe Him the way He does. Ever how He describes Himself, that's the way we'll describe Him. He says, I'm Almighty. Oh my. Oh, He has titles. Oh, I'm a just God and a Savior. Righteousness is my name. And oh, this is the way He describes Himself more than any other way. Is holy. He describes Himself as holy more than any other way. Do you know that? His holy name. The seraphims cry, holy, holy, holy. My holiness is before me. Oh my, He is just God. And I love His justice. I love His justice. And He's righteous and He's holy. And He's good. And He's gracious. And He's omniscient. And He's eternal. And my favorite of all, my Savior. my Savior. Oh, what a name. Just, Tim James said one time, if Savior wasn't His name, then how you know you'd be saved? But since it says He's a Savior, that means He's a Savior, and He's going to say who He's Savior for. He's a Savior. And oh, bless His name. Come by an old wretched, miserable, black-hearted, God-hating, Christ-rejecting, mean, miserable, mean man has ever walked on the earth, and He broke me. He broke me, and He put me down, and oh, He let me know that He was God. And I said, Lord, the only thing I could say, Lord, You don't owe me a thing, but if You will, would You show me mercy? Would You be merciful to me? That's all. God. And I asked for mercy then. And you know what I asked for now? Mercy. 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 Grace, grace, and mercy. You know, it pleased the Lord to make you His people. The psalmist David said, Oh Lord, I'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Oh my. Oh, for my name's sake. And then here's the third thing about the Lord's people. They feared the Lord. They were thoughtful people. They thought upon His name. And then look what else it says about them. And then they feared the Lord, spake often one to another. They like to talk about Him. They like to talk about Him. Huh? How many conversations have I had with preachers and people on the phone or in person or in a meeting somewhere about the things of the Lord? We speak about Him, one another. What was you going to, you know, we'll talk, why are you preaching? Oh, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to use that one of these days. Huh? What does this verse of Scripture mean? Oh, I tell you, I don't know. Do you know? Yeah, I'm going to write that down. We speak often one to another. Oh, we speak one to another about the things of God. My wife and I speak about the things of the Lord. We speak often one to another. Don't we speak often one to another about the things of Christ? Oh. And I tell you, those who love the Lord, they love one another. Let me show you something, Psalm 66. And I hope I'm not preaching too long. Psalm 66, verse 16. Look what it says over here. Oh, those who fear the Lord spake often one another and love one another. Look what the psalmist said. Come in here. Come in here. Listen to me. All ye that fear God. Why are you wanting us to do that for? Why he wants to get around? Because I got something I want to tell you. I want to declare what he has done for my soul. That's all we're talking about. That's what we'll talk about. Now, that's three things about the Lord's people. Now, we'll give you three things about the Lord. Three things about the Lord. Look what it says here in verse 16. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And listen to what it says here. Then the Lord hearkened and heard it. The Lord hearkened and heard it. You know, the Lord listens to His people. He really listens to His people. The Lord hearkened. He said, is my ear heavy? Am I short of my ear heavy that I cannot hear? Oh, He hears what we say about Himself. But the Lord hears. I want you to look at Psalm 94:9. I think that's what I'm wanting to do. You know, what did I say, 94:9? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Look what he said here about this. He listens to his people. The Lord hearkened. Hearkened. When they spake of the Lord hearkened. When they was talking about him, he hearkened. Look what he said. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? You reckon God formed this ear and he don't hear what you got to say? Look in Psalm 116. I heard Scott Richardson preach from this one time. And I mean, he, as they say down home, he shelled a corn. He shelled a corn. Look what he said here. And I use this often at home. He said, I love the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. He heard my voice. And my supplications when I ask Him. And oh, listen to this. Because He inclined His ear unto me. There's an old... You ever been in a service when back before people had hearing aids, if they had hard hearing, they'd lean toward you, you know, and cup their ear. You ever seen anybody do that? Old Floyd Boren used to do that all the time. He'd, you know, cup his ear and so, you know, get to his good ear. But listen, God don't, he inclines his ear. You know, we don't even know what to say sometimes, but he said, listen, all we can do is just whisper a prayer or something like that. But he gets down there and inclines his ear. I hear you. I hear you. I got you. I understand what you're saying. Just like we get down to listen to our babies talk. We get down to hear what they got to say. And then when people get old and their voice gets so frail, you have to get real close to them to listen to them. And that's, we're so frail. He said, "We, Lord, pities us as a father pities his children, knoweth our frame that we are but dust. And oh, we are so feeble." And then the Lord has to kind of hear what we got to say. Oh, hear what we got to say. Ain't you glad he does that? And then this is what he says. Since he's done that for me, I'm going to call up on him as long as I live. Call on him. I'm going to call on him. And oh, the Lord, he hears what his people say. He hears what they say about himself. Oh, my. He hears what we say about us, about himself. And oh, my. We cannot say high enough things about God. And I tell you something else he hears. He hears what we say about each other. He's interested in our words. You know, our Lord, oftentimes He'd ask His disciples, I could take it two times right now. I'm going through Mark, and one time the disciples come in, He said, "What were you talking about along the way?" You know how He knew what they was talking about along the way? Because He heard what they had to say. What was He talking about? Well, He's, you know, this, I'm the best preacher. I pray for you, and I'm the best. The Lord loves me more than anybody else. I pray more than anybody else. I know the Bible more than any of you fellows put together. And the Lord took, you know what He done to get those fellows' attention? He took a little child, set him right in the middle. You'd be like that child right there. What does a child know? Only what somebody gives him, what somebody tells him. Oh, my. Another time they wanted to know what people thought about him. What did men say about me? Oh, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the other prophets. He wanted to know what they thought about him. I mean, he's interested. I mean, he listens to us. And I'll tell you what, he's interested in our words. Look with me in Matthew chapter 12. This is something that I a lot of people misunderstand what this means. But in Matthew 12, by your words you're justified, or by your words you're condemned. And this is exactly what he's talking about. Our Lord hearkened and listened. Hearkened and listened. Look what our Lord says now. And out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Our Lord said in verse 34, Matthew 12, "Oh, generation of vipers." Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. Our Lord said, "You are snakes. You're all a bunch of snakes." These folks said, "Where are we going to take up snakes?" Listen, we've been taking up snakes ever since God saved us. There's vipers all over the place. And they're deadly. They got the poison of asp in their lips. Now look what he goes on to say. "You being evil, speak." How can you be evil, speak something good? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart is what's coming out. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now people think that this is, well, we should never talk about the weather. Don't never talk about fishing. Don't never talk about work. Don't never talk about having a big time. Don't never have a, you know, that's not what he's talking about, idle words like that. He goes on to say it this way. When you speak idle words, empty words, useless words about God, about Christ, if you come out of your mouth with evil things, that's what you are. Comes out of the mouth with good things, he says, by your, give an account, but by words you're going to be justified. And by your words you shall be condemned. And what he's talking about here, what you say about God, what you say about Christ, what you say about yourself, what you say about sin, that's what he's talking about here. And I tell you what, God help us. And then look at it, not only that, but he hears what we got to say. Look back over in Malachi again with me. Look at Malachi with me. Not only did he hear what we had to say, he hearkened and heard it. He heard what we had to say. He heard what we had to say. Heard what we had to say. And then Locus said, a book of remembrance was written before him. He wrote down a book of remembrance. But I'm going to tell you what he don't remember. I'll tell you what he won't remember before I tell you what he does. He don't remember sin. That's not in that book. Sin's not in that book. Rebellion's not in that book. Disobedience is not in that book. None of those things are in that book. But oh, this book of remembrance. There are several books in the Bible. There's called the book of life. Paul talked about those who were written in the book of life. And oh my, you got to see this. I know I'm having you turn, but look in Psalm 56. You just got to see this. This is what This is what the Lord does. Psalm 56, verse 8. Look what he says down here now. Let's see. 56, 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Oh my. Thou put my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Are they not in thy book? Your tears in your book and in a bottle and in your book? Oh my. I tell you, there's the book of life. Oh, he remembers all that he gives life to. He remembers all who he's going to give life to. And I tell you what thing, you know, here's the thing. The Old Testament saints, when you go back to the Old Testament and you got looking at them, you look at Abraham. God's going to be his exceeding reward, but he was afraid twice. He lied twice about Sarah being his sister instead of his wife because he was afraid he'd get killed and he'd take his wife. Now, what if me and you done that? They'd just screwed us from the church the first time they were alive. You ain't coming back in here again. And then Abraham, he decided, you know, not to trust God, and he went down to Egypt. But when you look at him in the New Testament, by faith, by faith, by faith, not one thing wrong with him. And then you look at Lot. You look at Lot in the Old Testament, there's no way under God's sun that man could know the Lord. New Testament said he's a just man and a righteous man. That's what happens because of what Christ did. That's what happened. That's what God... He don't remember those things. But oh, he remembers us in time after having chosen us in eternity. Oh, he remembers us in time after he chose us in eternity. He said, I chose him back there in eternity. And you know what? It's time. It's time. Time for what? Time of love. Time of the day of my power. I'm going to make them willing. They don't believe. I'm going to give them faith. And then I'm going to treat them like the faith is theirs, and I'm going to reward them just like it belongs to them and count them righteous. Oh, my. And he ain't going to get out his book. He isn't going to get out his book. He isn't going to get out his book and start reading all the good things we did, all the good words we spoke, all the kind deeds we did. He's not going to do that. No, no. No, no. Not going to do that. Lord, he said, if there be any evil way in me, save me from it. Oh, my. He's not going to do that. And then look what, not only is he listens to us, what we say about him, hearken, here's what we got to say. Got a book of remembrance. And I tell you what, there's nothing absolutely that he can remember about us except being righteous and just and perfect. Huh? And then look what he says. And in verse 17, he is so faithful. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Oh, I like this. They shall be mine. They shall be mine. Not only shall they be mine, but I'm gathering up jewels, and they're my jewels, and they're all mine. Do you feel like you're a jewel? God says you are. Oh, God says you are. Listen to all mine. They shall be mine when I make up my jewel. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And all that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. But I'll raise him up at the last day. Oh my. God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own grace given us in Christ before the world began. And he says, they shall be mine. They shall be mine. They shall be mine to choose. They shall be mine to love. They shall be mine to save. They shall be mine to keep. They shall be mine to feed. They shall be mine to teach. They shall be mine to lead. They shall be mine to glorify them. He said, Father, I will that where I am, that they may be with me and behold the glory which I had before the world began. And I did see that one of these days. And then, oh, my having loved his own, he loved them unto the end of the world. Oh, he's so faithful. When they come to get our Lord Jesus Christ out of the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, you want me? You can't have these. And that's what he says here. I'll make up my jewels. Special treasure. And then look what he said. He spares us as a man spares his own son. And he did not spare his son that he might spare us. Bless his name. Oh my. Well, I think that's a fear worth fearing, don't you? I do. Thank you. Appreciate you very much listening.